Good morning. Welcome to the San Luis Obispo County Planning Commission's regular meeting of June 13th. We have a roll call, please.
Commissioner Harrison?
Here.
Commissioner Ortiz-Legg?
Here.
Chairman Moltari?
Here.
Please let the record show Commissioner Brown and Commissioner Campbell are absent.
Okay. It's traditional. We start with a flag salute. Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which we stand, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Okay. Our first item is the public comment period. This is for people who would like to address the commission on items that are not on today's agenda. And also, if you do want to speak on an item later on that is on the agenda, I would ask that you fill out one of these brown speakers forms and give them to the staff there. So is there anybody who'd like to address us on an item that's not on the agenda today? Okay, we're done with that. That brings us to planning staff updates. Good morning.
Good morning. Chair Moltari, members of the commission, Kate Shea, County Planning. This is a briefing of your upcoming schedule and a reminder that all of these items are tentative until noticed and placed on an upcoming planning commission agenda. Your next meeting is scheduled for June 27th. And we currently have two items scheduled. Those include a sixth and final time extension for a vesting tentative tract map in South County, approximately 1 mile north of the city of Aurora Grande. And second, we have an AT&T wireless facility in rural South County, approximately 11 miles east of the city of Aurora Grande. On July 11th, we have two items scheduled. Those include a continued hearing item for a minor use permit, coastal development permit, commonly known as the First Street Project in Los Osos. That includes a request for encroachments into the right-of-way, landscaping, and coastal access. Second, we have a continued hearing item for a proposed cannabis project that would consider cultivation, processing, and manufacturing in East County, approximately 6 miles west of California Valley. Next, on July 25th, we currently have one item scheduled, which is a proposed cannabis project in North County, approximately 1 mile north of the city of Paso Robles. And other items may be added to that agenda. It's a little too early to forecast your August agendas, but we do have a placeholder for the August 12th date in lieu of your regular meeting of August 8th. And as soon as we're able to determine whether or not we will have items scheduled for that agenda, we will be sure to let you know. Okay. That concludes my updates for planning staff updates, unless you have questions. And we have our Deputy Director, Rob Fitzroy, here to provide you with the cannabis portion of this update.
Very good. Thank you. And I just want to remind the Secretary that I won't be here for the second meeting in July. So thinking about quorums and so on. Okay. So we might want to double check that. Maybe we have to flip things to August 12th if it's vacation time, I guess, and other things going on. Very good. Rob?
Good morning, Commissioners. Rob Fitzroy, County Planning. So just would like to provide a brief update on the Board of Supervisors' action on the cannabis ordinance that your commission reviewed. So the Board of Supervisors essentially took all of your recommendations and adopted them as is without modification. So as a reminder, it was the walkways, 25% for walkways, manufacturing on ag land without infusion. On that note, though, I would just like to mention that they did direct us to come back as a part of phase three to consider options for infusion of how that could possibly work. And then lastly, the fencing and screening requirements. So again, those all went unchanged. So as a part of phase three, they did direct the department to bring that back as soon as possible. So we're working on a timeline right now of what that actually would look like. There's a big question mark about CEQA. And right now, the ordinance and all the modifications we've been making per the state are exempt. That exemption expires this month, at the end of this month. So there is a question whether or not phase three will be subject to CEQA or not. If it is subject to CEQA, it will take some additional time. So in all likelihood, we're looking probably about fall, when maybe perhaps late summer, to your commission and then to the Board of Supervisors in fall for Phase 3. Phase 3 includes a lot of things still, so it is a much more intense, not intense, I would say a much more robust ordinance amendment package overall. So it will take some time to prepare as well as vet internally as well as during the public review. And then just as a reminder of what Phase 3 all now includes, they did include the commission's recommendations. There were two recommendations from your commission about the sensitive receptor definitions and increasing setbacks and things of that nature. So Phase 3 now includes, as a whole, options to not allow outdoor grows. So again, that's not necessarily we're going to be returning with a prohibition on outdoor grows. It's just going to be options for the commission to weigh of what that could look like. The three strikes and you're out policy, not necessarily three strikes, but something to that effect, mm-hmm. where if you have a violation or some other issue on the site, your land use permit could be revoked. Increasing, like I mentioned, increasing the location standards from sensitive receptors and changing the definition of sensitive receptors to include residences. We discussed potentially a 1,000-foot setback. Also disallowing the use of in-lieu fees for the water offset program. in other words, not allowing cannabis operations to pay. They actually have to result in real conservation prior to approval or implementation of their project. The no revolving door concept. So in other words, if one of the 141 cultivators backs out, gets their permit revoked, it doesn't create a new slot. It then drops down to 140, for example. Again, allowing limited infusion activities on ag land, requiring fully enclosed ventilation systems for indoor grows, proposing ancillary nursery as a component of a cultivator operation. So those are all the components of Phase 3. Like I mentioned, we're working on timeline of what that looks like. Once we do nail down a timeline, we'll report back to your commission.
And just to be clear, the board, the summary was a little bit unclear, but the board understood that these were just issues that we thought needed further analysis. We weren't necessarily endorsing those positions.
Exactly. Yes, okay. We did make that clear.
Thank you very much. Any questions? Comments? Okay. That brings us to our hearings. Ramona, would you introduce our first item, please?
Hearing item number one is a hearing to consider a request by John Swift for a third time extension and project modification of a previously approved minor use permit, coastal development permit. County file number EXT2018-00041, Supervisorial District Number 2, Project Manager Jillian Ferguson.
Thank you very much. Jillian, do you want to give a staff report, please?
Good morning, Chair Moltari and Commissioners. Jillian Ferguson, Staff Planner. Planning staff is requesting a third time extension to construct a new single family residence, construct a new driveway, and install utilities and stormwater detention system and the conversion of an existing single family residence.
So you need to start your slideshow.
Oh, shoot. Hold on. There you go. Okay. All right. Ooh, sorry about that. The proposed project site is located within the Estero planning area. And the proposed project would result in the disturbance of 2.89 acres of a 230-acre area in the agricultural land use category. The proposed building site is approximately 1 mile south of Los Osos Valley Road and southwest of the Los Osos Urban Reserve Line. So on this slide, you can see where the previously proposed driveway site was located, where the building site currently is, and the proposed driveway site. The substantial conformance was approved because not only does the new driveway site require less grading, but also it avoids sensitive areas such as the riparian area and the area with owl's clover. So staff recommends the approval of this third time extension of the minor use permit based on the findings listed in Exhibit A, which carries over the original findings and conditions as outlined. Thank you.
You're welcome. Are there any questions for staff? Okay, I have no speaker slips. Does anybody want to speak to us on this item, applicant or otherwise? Okay, then I'll close the hearing. Commissioners, is there motion, discussion, questions?
No. I have a question. By moving the driveway, how many of those little creeks did they have to cross over, or did they avoid crossing? Could you put the picture back up?
Any water bodies? Any water body crossings? Yeah. I believe there are none.
Could you put the picture back up?
Sure.
The one, the other one that you just had, that you just backed over, that one. Yeah. I just was curious because I was out there looking, and it looked like there was a number of little draws that came down through where they're going to do, and I was wondering how it was going to affect the riparian areas.
Okay.
I see that you've got that down lower. Okay. I'll make a motion that we approve this extension.
Okay. So we have a motion to approve.
Second.
Okay. And this will be based on the findings that have been provided by staff?
Yes.
Okay.
Too many to do it right.
Probably a good idea.
I'll make a motion that we approve a third time extension for DRC 2012-00117. With the conditions recommended by staff.
Okay. Very good. Could you call the roll, please, Ramona?
Commissioner Harrison?
Yes.
Commissioner Ortiz-Legg?
Yes.
Chairman Moltari?
Yes. Very good. Thank you. Okay. That brings us to item four, a hearing on a cell tower that was continued from last year. Ramona, would you introduce that item, please?
Item number four is a hearing to consider a request by Joe and Linda Lippe and AT&T Mobility for a conditional use permit. County file number DRC 2017-00017, Supervisorial District Number 5, Holly Phipps, Project Manager.
Thank you, Holly.
Good morning, Chairman Moltari and members of the Planning Commission, Holly Phipps, Project Manager. Before us today is a continued hearing to consider a request by Joe and Linda Lippe and AT&T to allow the construction of unmanned wireless facility. The project was originally heard by your commission on July 26, 2018. Your commission requested that the applicant and staff look at alternative locations for consideration and to bring back before your commission. Two sites are proposed, the original location, which we'll call Site A, and the new alternative location that we'll refer to as Site B. So the next slides are a little bit just a refresher of where we're located. The proposed project is located at The project is located at 10550 Little Quail Road, directly southeast of Park Hill Road and Little Quail Road, approximately 7 miles from San Margarita. The proposed project is located in the rural lands land use category and is located in North County Planning Area Las Palitas sub-area. And here we have a look at the aerial photo of the subject property. So first, Site A, the original location was a request to allow the construction of unmanned wireless communication facility to provide high-speed wireless broadband services to the rural area of the county and to also provide coverage to emergency responders during an emergency. The construction at Site A would result in the construction of a 60-foot tall wireless structure that would be disguised as a monopine, 4 8-foot panel antennas, 6 two 6-foot diameter dish antennas. And the project also includes ground mounted equipment, a 12-foot tall equipment cabinet, backup power generators, two AC units, and emergency lighting. The lease area would be enclosed by a 6-foot concrete block wall in combination with a fence, and the project would result in a disturbance of approximately 11,800 square feet of site disturbance. And here we look at the particulars of this location, Site A. It's located right here would be the lease area, and then the access road would meander back to Little Quail Road via this access road. The alternative location, we see that the cell site location has now moved inward to the west property line and a little bit closer to the front property line. Now the access road would meander to the Little Quail Road, so the distance is a little less. So at this location for alternative Site B, this would consist of a construction of an 80-foot high wireless communication system. Would include 12 8-foot panel antennas, one diameter dish antenna, and again, ground-mounted equipment, 11-foot tall equipment cabinet, racks, one AC unit, and again, a backup power generator, and emergency lighting. The lease area would be enclosed by a 6-foot wooden fence in combination with an 8-foot concrete block wall. And here in this area, the project will result in a disturbance of approximately 19,700 square feet of site disturbance. So that's about 8,000 square feet more at this location, and that is due to the slopes. So again, here is just a look at the site plan for Site B. Trenching for the utility connections would result in two pine trees being removed. Likewise, in the other location, RF emissions at this location at ground level would be equivalent to 5.10% of FCC's general public exposure, the same as it would be in the original location, Site A. The site for Site B, the ground elevation is nearly 20 feet lower than the original location, and that is why the additional height is required at this location. Quick look at the elevation. Kind of looks like a monopine. So view from the photo sims shows from Park Hill Road. So right now, this is existing view. And then the next slide, here we see the proposed monopine, the 80-foot tall. Again, Park Hill Road looking southeast. And next, you can see the cell tower right here. Looking west from Park Hill Road, and then with the proposed cell site. This shows the existing coverage at the proposed site, and this was with the coverage that they're able to provide service to the area. We had some public comments received. Some of those comments included the following. Health effects for RF emissions on humans. Unfortunately, the county's local authority to regulate wireless communication facilities, such as this proposed project, is limited by Federal Telecommunications Act of 1996. Of these limitations is the preemption of local regulation on the basis of concerns for RF emissions. There was also a concern about the health effects emissions on bees, and Ben Dorr from County Council would like to weigh in on that.
Yes. Ben Dorr with County Council, and so the preemption applies to environmental effects generally, so that would apply to the environmental effects on humans as well as on bees. So we are preempted, the county's preempted from considering the environmental effect of RF on just generally.
And then some other concerns that came up in the letters that we received, quite a few concerns regarding fire concerns. This project is located in a high fire hazard area, but the Park Hill Fire Station, the response time to this property site is 8 minutes. We have a fire safety letter that was issued by CAL FIRE, and some of the things detailed in that fire safety letter include that they have a fuel reduction zone around the site, a 100-foot defensible space. Fire extinguishers is required at the site at all times. And the fuel storage that is on site has to meet fire codes. Yesterday, I also talked with the battalion chief, Travis Craig, and he stated that during construction, CAL FIRE would support requiring a fire watch and a readily available water source at the site, and the fire watch and the water would serve to help mitigate any fire concerns during construction. So staff has available an additional condition if that is something you would like to see us pursue. Another thing that was concerned was property values. The ordinance doesn't allow the county to consider a neighbor's property value when reviewing wireless facilities. And another concern was that this property should co-locate at other locations. So to meet the coverage requirements proposed, for broadband, AT&T site has to be, the facility has to be within pretty close proximity to Park Hill Road and near the intersection of Little Quail Road. And so it was brought to our attention. It was like, why not have a cell site, have them locate at one that was previously approved by your commission in October 2017 on Whale Creek Road? Why not have it there? Again, this is approximately 3 miles from the proposed site. It would not meet AT&T's coverage requirements. There are some additional cell sites that are to the west that was approved. And again, they're too far out, about 7 miles away, and would not meet requirements. One of the neighbors stated that there is a cell site located on Black Mountain Road that could provide coverage. I looked into this. This is owned by the government, and our county does not have jurisdiction in this area. And just a recap of the Telecommunications Act of 1996. So based on the information here today, staff has prepared new findings and conditions for the new alternative location, Site B, the 80-foot tower, and staff has also previously prepared findings and conditions for the originally proposed 60-foot tower, Site A. So staff has reviewed both locations and the alternatives and recommends approval at either option A or B at your discretion. Your commission could recommend to approve one of the tower options or provide staff with further directions. And that concludes my presentation, and I'm available for questions.
Thank you. Are there any questions for staff at this point? Yes. Mr.
Yes.
Donald.
I'm just wondering, as far as the fire hazard aspects, I mean, you know, that's a rural area. There's a lot of, and I read the notes about welding, et cetera, which happens on all the farmland as well. But is there a... why we don't have a condition as far as the applicant having some sort of fire suppression system, whether it's, you know, simply an extinguisher that's part of the package of, you know, all their buildings and everything. Like, why wouldn't they have that? It's their asset. Seems like it would be something they'd want to have close by.
In today's time, that does seem like a great suggestion, and I will let the agent, Mr. Ambrose, speak to that.
Okay. Thank you.
Commissioner Harrison, you have a question?
I do not have any questions on this.
At this point. Okay. I have one for County Council before we continue with regard to the bees. There were two bee issues that were raised in the correspondence that we received. One was kind of a generic environmental issue about the effects on wild bumblebees. The other one, which more relevant to this particular location, was that there is an existing apiary. I don't know if it's been approved by the county or it's gotten its permits or anything like that, but some beekeeping takes place. And I revisited the site again recently, and indeed there are hives out there. Does the federal exemption with regard to bees extend to domestic bees as well?
I think to the extent that the concern is from the radio frequency from the tower, we are preempted from taking that into consideration in terms of its potential effect on bees.
Okay. Yes. Thank you. Okay. If there's no other questions at this point, this is a public hearing, and we usually hear from the applicant first.
Good morning, Chairman, Commissioners. My name is Jerry Ambrose. I'm here on behalf of AT&T. And I just want to add a few items to Holly's presentation. The reason for the location B was based on input from the last Planning Commission meeting. One of the neighbors had written a long letter and suggested that we move it approximately 100 feet northwest. And we did that. We moved it to the exact spot where the neighbor had wanted it to go. And as Holly mentioned, that the ground elevation is about 20 feet lower. So the tower would be taller in that B location. Second, at the last hearing, there was discussion about alternative sites. The commission wanted more information about the alternative sites. Holly had put up on the screen our alternative sites analysis. I also just printed out some copies if you wanted to see them today, more face-to-face. The search area where we look for alternatives is limited to approximately half mile by a half mile, and as Holly said, right there around Little Quail Road and Park Hill Road. So any location that's outside of that half mile, you know, square by square, we wouldn't consider because it won't meet the RF objectives of the site. Location B has several existing gray pines. Those range in height from 40 feet to 83 feet. Location A does not have pines around it. It's just a barren hillside. But if the commission were to approve the project and vote for location A, we, of course, could introduce new pine trees around it, as we are proposing right now with location B. Right now, the trees proposed with location B, the new trees, are small, but we could plant trees at whatever height the commission felt was necessary if you approve the project. On the issue of fire, there is no welding on the site. Everything is welded in the factory, and it arrives in pieces and parts, and they essentially just put it all together on the property. Every cell site has at least one fire extinguisher, and possibly two, within the compound there, the lease area, and that goes for every cell site. I talked to the contractors, and they also, and maybe Cal Fire would require this, I think they call it a buffalo truck, which is basically a large water facility on site during construction, and the contractors can do that easily if that's required. You've already addressed the issue about the bees. And I know there were several letters that came in the last couple of days. I've glanced at them, but have not had a chance to absorb all the comments. And I'm here to answer any questions you might have about those letters as well.
Are there questions? Commissioner Harrison.
During the construction of your various cell sites in the state of California, high fire hazard areas, how many fires have been caused by the assembly of those sites?
I am not aware of any, personally. I do not know. Talking about the assembly, like during the assembly.
Yeah, when you're building the sites up and you go in and you do the grading and you do all the stuff and you put the site in and get it operational.
Yeah, I have personally not heard of any. I'm not saying that didn't happen somewhere along the way, but I personally do not know of any.
Neither have I.
Again, without welding, it's really just bolts, tightening bolts together.
Yeah. Commissioner Ortiz.
Concrete.
Thank you. Mr. Ambrose, is this tower based on some of the federal mandates that came down in
yes.
regards to providing coverage in rural areas?
Absolutely, yeah, directly, yes.
Okay, so
Connect
this is...
Connect America.
Okay.
As part of AT&T's license or purchase of spectrum, AT&T is mandated to provide this rural broadband to certain census areas designated by the federal government.
Okay.
And that's what all these towers that have recently come to you are for.
Right. Right.
Primarily, but they do also offer the AT&T mobility service. Mm-hmm. They will also have FirstNet. If your county's familiar with what FirstNet is, that is a first responders network.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Channel 14. That means Highway Patrol, County Sheriff, County Fire, Cal Fire, federal agencies, they can all share one frequency band should there be a fire or a major catastrophic event out there. And AT&T is the only provider of that service, and this tower would have that.
Yeah. Thank you. On the land use ordinance standards, there's a section 22.3180B requires the applicants to provide the non-ionizing radiation generated or received by the facility. And the response on that item was regarding a new report that came out April 18, 2019, EBI consulting report. The maximum level of RF emissions at ground level from the proposed facility would be equivalent to 5.10% of the FCC's general public exposure limit. Can you just tell me a little bit more about that report? Is that something that's just come? I mean, yeah.
The county ordinance requires that we prepare a report. Most jurisdictions do not, because the counties and cities are preempted from even talking about the issue. So we provide a report to the county done by a third party who analyzes the propagated effect of when the site's on air, and the result is 5.10% of the federal standard at ground level, you know, walking within distance of the tower.
Okay. All right. I just wanted clarification on that, because I am aware that some of the other jurisdictions don't have
this.
So
Most don't.
Yeah, great. All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Okay. Any other questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. I do have three speaker slips. So again, if you'd like to speak on this item, please fill out one of these forms and give it to staff. I'll start with the first one on the list here, Mike Nodal. Morning, sir.
Good morning. And I have some new information that might be a priority. I live across the street that has the winery and the small dry farm vineyard.
Could you just say your name again, please, sir?
Pardon?
Could you just say your name again, please?
Mike Knodel.
Thank you.
Okay. I have a priority medical issue, and that relates to the project. Okay, my cardiologist consultation revealed that I need a pacemaker. And I can verify this medical diagnosis. The cell tower does produce electromagnetic, you know. So that's all I wanted to say, because I just wanted to add something new.
Well, thank you. I'm sorry about your condition. Jenny Holmes. Jenny, would you like to speak next? Yeah, do you have her PowerPoint, staff? You have Debbie's. This is Jenny's. Okay. Yeah, if you could speak into the microphone there, that would be helpful.
Thank you.
Could you say your name again, please?
Hi, my name is Jenny Holmes. And first, I'd like to thank you for allowing citizens to take the time to share our concerns and opposition to this application. There are currently several community members with strong arguments that highlight the many valid and significant reasons why this project should not be approved. Some are listed. They're all very important and very worthy of following through with deep consideration and investigation. However, there's one I'd like to focus on today. As we outlined in our letter of opposition, we beseech you especially to consider the severe fire hazards that a tower in this area does pose. CAL FIRE Marshal Travis Craig classified this area as very high fire risk, the most extreme of all the risk classifications. Each year, North San Luis Obispo County is ravaged by wildfires. Just this week, North County kept firefighters busy with multiple blazes. Yesterday, I was trapped on Highway 46 for two smoky hours during its closure while they fought to get the McMillan fire under control. Each of these articles was written within the last few days. Fires have been caused by something as simple as chains falling off of a truck and causing sparks, or flammable bird nesting material near faulty wiring, etc. These articles, too, are from yesterday and the day before. Across the country, we have gained notoriety for our state's burning and the many ways we must make different decisions to ensure the safety of our land, our homes, and our families. On the left is a California map with each 2018 fire noted. The U.S. Department of Forestry calculated that last year alone, over 1 million acres burned. On the right, a California map from 2019 with this year's already growing number of fires. Governor Gavin Newsom declared a state of emergency in California earlier this year to expedite projects that will protect communities from wildfires. A quote from the Los Angeles Times. The governor's action marks the latest effort by the state to offset the possibility of catastrophe after back-to-back years of savage wildfires that killed more than 100 people and burned nearly 2 million acres in total. The emergency response time at the earliest is 8 minutes to our home to the site. Our proximity to the proposed site means that our home will burn 6 minutes before the nearest possible responder can arrive. There are also 8 to 12 other homes within that range. I took these photos 2 summers ago when the Hill Fire began just across the road from our farm and home. Although our farm has been under evacuation a few times during previous fires, this was the first time that I had ever packed my car and with shaking, hurried hands and packed as if I might not ever come back. We're always aware of the ever-present danger of fire. We must be more than aware now. We must be proactive in mitigating that risk to the best of our ability and deny this application, which introduces significant fire risk to our already high-danger area and vulnerable community. Thank you for your time and consideration.
Thank you very much. Okay, Deborah Bellandino. Deborah, I understand you have PowerPoint, too?
Yes, I do.
Very good.
I wanted to also pass out these letters, and I want to make sure that your Planning Commission has copies of these letters.
If they were sent to us prior to today, we do have copies.
I'm sorry, what's that?
If they were sent to us prior to today, we do.
It was sent this morning. It was not available online yesterday.
Oh, yes, we actually did get copies of these this morning.
Okay.
They were for us when we arrived.
Okay.
Yes.
Just one moment, please.
Sure. Take your time. This one too.
I also wanted to make sure that the Planning Commission has a copy of this letter from Dr. Wardell regarding the bees.
You have we do.
That. Okay, great. Make sure that I see. Do I put this over here? Or let me see.
Can you help her with a?
Yeah, I just want to make sure I understand what I'm doing here.
Yes.
Just stand here then, and like this. Yeah. Is that okay? Thank you.
Okay.
Good morning. Thank you very much for your time today. My name is Deborah Bellandino. I just want to start off by saying that as you can see here, the whole purpose for the tower is to show that there's a significant gap in coverage. The image shown here shows that clearly there is not a significant gap in coverage, so there therefore is no need for the tower. Next slide, please. This has already been discussed. I want to address the comment by county council, that the bees are not the bee issue is not subjected to the radiation and et cetera. However, Dr. Wardell mentioned in his letter that the bees are the western bumblebee is an endangered species. Therefore, that is not related to EMF radiation. It's related to the fact that it's an endangered species. Next slide, please. I want to let this commission know that this project does not comply with FCC Environmental Regulations 3A Environmental Assessment Checklist. As you can read up there, although this may have been cleared at the state level, it has not been cleared at the federal level. And I'd like you to briefly read an email that I received from the FCC Attorney Advisor, FCC WTB Council. ATTN knows that it should not proceed with construction regardless of the outcome of the local process until the complaint before us is resolved. So this is on the record. I didn't hear any comments regarding this. This cannot be ignored. Next slide, please. This is in violation of the county general plan and San Luis Obispo County Code. The applicant has not provided any sort of technological analysis of why it cannot co-locate, difficult word, on remaining structures in the area. Verbally, he has expressed that, but there's not been any sort of technological analysis, which I believe is necessary. Next slide. This is just more on this. Go ahead. Mm-hmm. And this is also in violation. It's out of order. As you can see, no locations is number five. Next slide, please. We've discussed the fire issue already. Let's see what else. Go ahead, please. With respect to the fire issue, I'd like to address Planning Commissioner Harrison's comment that. There have not been any cell fires within the construction that's occurred. A lot of these cell fires are not made public. I say this because I know personally of a cell fire that occurred at a high school up in Northern County that was not made available to the public. We learned this by accident. So there are probably other cell fires that may have occurred. However, you just don't know about them. They have occurred, and as far as the welding issue goes, I understand that's something I'm not very sure about. But what I do know is that maintenance is required on these towers. And so even though the tower may come as a complete package and already constructed, I'd like the applicant to also ask how maintenance is done on these towers. He hasn't really explained that as well. And that hasn't really been cleared, so if you could maybe clarify this as well. But regardless of the fire issue, as I've already said, the FCC has, this is under review by the FCC and should not proceed until that review is complete. I think that's all I have to say.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate this PowerPoint and your comments. Is there anyone else you'd like to speak to us on this item? Please come up and do that. And if you would fill out one of these forms when you're done, that would be great. Could you tell us your name, please?
My name is, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Joe Lippi. I'm a property owner of the proposed cell tower site. And far as back to this first picture just came off the screen where she says the fire was at that proposed site. It wasn't even there. It was down the road further.
Could you get closer to the mic, please?
Oh, you can't hear me? Okay. You got me now?
Yeah. Very good.
Okay. And far as Jenny and her bees, they have about 10 boxes of bees. And they've had them for about 2 years, I believe. And in the springtime, the bees do go well because there's a lot of food up there for them. But as the summertime comes on and the heat comes on, there's very little food up for those bees. So it's actually like mistreating bees, my opinion. So what the bees do, they come to my place because my wife and I, we grow a lot of stuff. We're very good for our green thumbs. And so like I said, the bees, they all come to my place. They get food from everything that we have growing. And then water. Water is a big deal for those bees. They're, like I said, dead of summer, 110 degrees, 113 degrees. And the poor bees are down there sitting by this oak tree. And they all come to my place because I have water. I give water to all the wildlife around there. They all come to my place. So there's days I go down to my troughs and I save the bees. I get them out of the water and save them. So that's back to that issue there. But like I said, in the summertime, it gets pretty hot up there and those bees have there's nothing up there for them to eat. Unless people like me put stuff out there for them, all right? And let's see. So back to the importance of this tower, I believe when you leave Santa Margarita, it's about 8.5 miles on a rural road, and as you go up through there, you start losing about a mile, let me see, mile and a half out of Santa Margarita. All depends what cell service you have. You lose cell service. So if people are out there driving around and they go out there and they turn off 58 and they go Park Hill Road and they break down, it's a two-lane narrow road, and they break down and they have to do some walking to get some help, you know what I'm saying? So if a lady at night with some kids are out there and she's driving out 58 and turns on Park Hill Road and goes up there, breaks down, and like I said, it's a rural area and two-lane road. If she breaks down and she's got kids, so what is she going to do? There's some bad people live out there because things happen out there. You read about it once in a while or hear about it. So my deal on this tower, it would be a great benefit to the community of Park Hill area. Because, okay, like I said, you get out there and you break down at night or even at daytime, people don't stop unless they know you. All right? So if you're at nighttime out there and you break down, you're up Baloney Creek. And I think for you guys to not approve this tower would be a disbenefit to all of the people up to who were pro for that tower. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, regardless.
Very good.
But back to the bees. Like I said, these in the dead of summer, they come to my place. Food and water. Thank you. Okay.
Thank you. Appreciate that, Mr. Lippe. Could you fill out one of those brown forms, please? Could you fill out one of these?
Sure. Not bad here.
No, that's fine. I see a hand up. Do you want to speak, sir?
Can I just make a couple of other comments that I didn't comment before the last meeting? I wonder if I could just...
Why don't you come up to the microphone, yes, and you can expand on your earlier comments. We'll allow that. Could you say your name again, Phil, for the record?
Okay, you know, I live up on the hill that's across from him, and the train that runs through Margarita is 9.5 miles from me. And I can hear, like in the evening, the train approaching the intersection of El Camino and 58. And I can hear that. I'm 9.5 miles away. So I'm just saying you can build a block wall around it, but the sound does go up, and it does go, and it will go towards me. I guarantee it.
Okay.
And that's why we move out in the rural area.
Mm-hmm. And what was your name again?
Mike Knodel.
Name?
Mike Knodel.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, sir. Anything else?
All right. No, that's okay. It. Thank you.
Sure. Appreciate your comments. Again, is there anybody else now who'd like to address us on this item? Okay, seeing none, I'm going to close the public hearing and bring it back to the commission for comments, questions, motion. Any comments? Any questions?
I would say one thing.
Yes.
When I asked the AT&T representative about the fires on the cell sites, I was not asking had there ever been a fire in a cell, tower, or cell anything, but had there been one during construction was the question. And he didn't know, and I don't know either. Although I also haven't ever heard of one.
Okay. Commissioner Ortiz-Lay.
Well, you know, the conversations that we have around these cell towers every time that one comes up for approval are relatively similar in that individuals are concerned and they are... And there's a lot of information out there. The part that's frustrating is that the information doesn't really direct them to the authorities of where their power lies, and that's with their elected officials. And this has been going on for quite a while. I think that it's a very challenging to sit here and to be concerned about people's health and welfare, and yet knowing that the authority that we have is not in regards to the kinds of things that involving the FCC. And so I really encourage people to take it to their elected authorities, their concerns. And this is happening across not only our area, but the state and the country. And so that's pretty much my comment. comment on, you know, what to do about the proliferation of cell towers and the telecommunication needs of our rural communities and our area. I am very familiar with Highway 58. I know what the cell coverage is out there. It's not there, as Mr. Lippe says, in certain areas. You can go for great stretches without having any access to on your cell phone, and I can imagine for homes as well. So those are just my comments in regards to this application, and I'll stop there.
Okay. I have a few comments. First of all, just to reiterate, the health effects, while they come up virtually every time that we have a controversial cell tower, are things that are beyond our purview. We've heard from County Council that the radiation effects on insects, bees particularly, is also an area in which we are exempted from basing a decision. The FCC complaint it sounded like from what I read and what we heard is that AT&T can't proceed with the project regardless of the local approval. So local approval could be granted while that complaint is also being heard. I think evidence was provided that the co-location was analyzed and that I think the fire risk from this particular use does not strike me, based on the evidence that I've seen, being more severe than a lot of the other uses that are going out there. And in fact, the real risk is because there's houses out there, which I'm not sure if we, in retrospect, we would go back in history, we should be approving houses so far in high-risk fire areas so far from services. And that's really the real issue that we're facing with regard to fire. I guess I have a question for staff or maybe for the applicant with regarding maintenance. Is there any additional different risks regarding maintenance different from the original construction that we need to know about?
They do have routine maintenance. Jerry can speak to that. I don't know if with this particular carrier, if it's monthly or every 2 weeks, but they go out and they run tests on the generators and stuff like that. But Jerry may elaborate on that.
Mr. Ambrose, do you have a comment on that, please?
Yes, with regard to maintenance, the sites are monitored remotely for the technical operation of the site. There's also a local operations person who lives here in San Luis Obispo County, and they do a maintenance visit about once a month.
I think the question was, is that the type of maintenance that is performed, does that increase the fire risk in any way different from the construction?
That's literally someone in a truck going out, looking at the site, walking into the lease enclosure, making sure there's nothing blown into it that's causing problems or anything. It's just a visual inspection.
Okay.
Is what the maintenance is. If there's something there, if a tree is fallen over, not the cell tower, but like the tree that was planted or something, they would replace it.
Okay.
So there's no activities that go on a typical maintenance visit. It's a maintenance inspection.
Okay. Thank you.
Do you run the generator?
A generator is tested about 20 minutes every 2 weeks.
Okay.
And that's turned on remotely.
Yeah. Commissioner Ortiz-Lay?
I don't have anything for Mr. Ambrose.
Oh, okay.
No, that's a remote operation.
Okay. Thank you.
On that.
Well,
I'm sorry, since I'm here, if it's okay.
Yep.
The lady was, she was correct. The site cannot go on air until AT&T meets the federal requirement under NEPA. So concurrently with this process, we are going through a NEPA process that every single cell site goes through.
And who's the lead agency in that? Is it
the feds?
The feds.
FCC.
And NEPA, National Environmental Policy Act.
I understand.
Yeah.
We have to be in compliance, prove compliance with that as well.
Okay.
So one of the things that one of the speakers had noted about the bees being endangered species, that would get captured there if that was the case, or because
that's correct.
Okay,
that's all captured under federal law.
Okay. Very good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other? Oh, wait.
Do you know if your radiation or whatever from your cell tower has a negative impact on bees?
On what? On bees?
Yeah.
Oh, I personally have no idea. I can tell you just from practical experience doing this for almost 25 years, we've put up a lot of cell towers around beehives, a lot in Kern County with the almonds orchards out there. There's beehives near our cell tower sites out there in a lot of locations. That's just
anecdotal,
my own experience. Yeah, and there's bees everywhere. So, that's just my personal experience.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Is there any other comment from County Council with regard to this, Ben?
No further comments, but can answer any other questions that the commission might have.
Okay. Thank you. I would also note that when we heard this about a year ago, we took seriously the concerns that the neighbors pointed out to us. We did ask them to look at the applicants to look at alternative sites. I do think Site B, which was actually discussed to some extent more generically last time, is a superior site, even though there is more trenching required and the loss of a couple of trees. I think it's, having gone out there recently just a couple days ago, I think it's better in terms of the aesthetic impacts. It's farther away from the house of the neighbors and closer to the house of the applicant. So I think that they've been responsive, and I think this is it was worth the wait to get a better response. I know some people are not going to be happy regardless, but I think Site B would get my support in this. Yes.
Yeah, Commissioner Maltari, sorry, I do have one comment, and this is about the letter that we received from Wilson Creek Communications about existing wireless internet service in that area. And again, this is something that we are, as a county, preempted from considering or from regulating in a way that disadvantages competitors. So the fact that there's existing service is really irrelevant to your decision today. The county needs to create an equal playing field for all providers within an area and allow them to access a given market.
Okay. Thanks for the clarification on that. If we were to proceed with Site B, and I have to get concurrence from at least one other commissioner, the findings are provided. There was additional findings or condition that you suggested perhaps during the construction of having a, what do you call it, a buffalo trap?
Water buffalo.
Water, yeah.
A fire monitor, yes. We can bring that up for you.
Please.
And so if we do wish to proceed with this location and the memorandum that was provided to you in attachment one and two, we have the findings and conditions for this alternative location. And Mr. Young will bring up the condition for the fire monitor and see if this will suffice. A little technical difficulty.
Okay.
Except.
Okay. Commissioners, any comments? Does this seem like a reasonable addition? Commissioner Harrison,
I think that's already in here.
That is we can cut and paste that into the conditions.
Okay.
And we'll bring the conditions up for you. Number one. And then number
so that's where it's going to reside.
Yes, that looks like a good spot.
And you'll adjust the numbering and all that.
We
don't need to watch you do that. Okay.
fire safety, yep.
Okay, so do I have a motion?
With that, I can read the recommendation and for you to take.
Go ahead.
So staff is recommending an adoption of the negative declaration in accordance with CEQA and to approve conditional use permit DRC 2017-00017 based on the findings listed in Exhibit A and the conditions listed in Exhibit B as modified.
Okay. Is there a motion, commissioners, or further discussion?
I'll move on that recommendation from staff. Do I need to say the whole thing? recommendation to approve the to adopt the mitigated negative declaration in accordance with the applicable provisions of the California Environmental Quality Act, Public Resources Code 21,000, and approve the conditional use permit DRC 2017-00017 based on the findings listed in Exhibit A and the conditions in Exhibit B, which basically is the B state.
Right.
Okay.
This is for Site B.
For Site B.
Everybody's clear on that.
Thank you.
Have a second? No?
I'll second the motion. I don't like the fact it's going up 20 feet higher, but I understand the need.
I agree with you, Commissioner. I thought that was kind of interesting, but I do think that it's farther away and tucked in some aspects.
It's going to look better with all the other pine trees around it.
Yeah,
I second the motion.
Okay. So we have a second and a motion. Is there any discussion on this? I would just add that to the folks that came out unhappy with this item is that it's equally uncomfortable, I think, for us up here dealing with something in which our scope of purview is so limited, and that much of the concerns that come up regarding health, regarding environmental issues, are outside of our purview. So I'll support the motion. Could we have a roll call, please, Ramona?
Commissioner Ortiz-Legg?
Yes.
Commissioner Harrison?
Yes.
Chairman Moultari?
Yes. And I would also point out that this is appealable. You can take it to the Board of Supervisors. Okay. Thank you very much for coming today. And
well said, Chairman.
Okay. All right. Do you? Okay. I've had a request for a brief break for obvious reasons. So why don't we take a 15-minute break. We'll come back at 10:15. This is a hearing for the use permit in Monarch Dunes. Ramona, could you introduce the item, please?
Hearing item number 5 is a hearing to consider a request by Monarch Dunes LLC for a conditional use permit. County file number DRC 2018-00214. Supervisorial District Number 4, Jay Johnson, Project Manager.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the Commission, Jay Johnson, planning staff. This is a request to develop the village center of the Woodlands Village. It would be done over two phases, over 10 years. Could potentially see as much as 140,000 square feet of commercial floor area. It would, as I mentioned, two-phase project. The first phase would be two buildings of approximately 10,000 square feet. Primarily for the initial office buildings. This also includes a parking modification that builds in a little more flexibility to accommodate on a 140,000 square foot project. It's a little more difficult sometimes to forecast how and when those things will happen. As a reminder, Woodlands is located on the Napomo Mesa, approximately 2 miles west of the community of Napomo. The village center is located generally towards the center of the village, and the land use category is commercial retail. This is the site. It is composed of three sites of about 8 parcels that were graded and developed as part of phase 1A, which was done probably 2005 when that grading was done. This is the overall site plan, and you'll see here in a moment that the two phases, that the first phase is actually the buildings on the right, which is at Mesa Road and Trilogy Parkway. in phase one. And so that's what we'll be focusing primarily on today is that. And then we'll look at the kind of the generic architecture for phase two as well. So this is an illustration that shows us a street scene. This would be around the what we call the horseshoe lot on phase two, kind of give the commission a feel for the architecture. One day there would be an internal plaza with that. It would be an opportunity for people to enjoy the space outdoors. Kind of a feel for some of the natural materials and signage that would occur in the village center. The village green would be an integral part of the village center. Staff is recommending condition that be fulfilled about halfway through the development of the village center. This is the phase one site plan. Building J is where the initial medical office is proposed. There are design guidelines in the Woodland specific plan. Again, these are guidelines that our applicants should follow. Your commission has the ability with a guideline to make that a shall in any aspect that you felt important. Staff did note that the east elevation identified elevation number 3, which faces the street in terms of the articulation on the building when you compare it to the south elevation number 1, is a little bland. And so staff is requesting additional vertical elements and treatment to this building as it presents itself on the street. This is the smaller building, Building K, and if you look at the elevation on number 1, that south elevation, that faces the street. So if they could treat the larger Building J similar to what K has going on, I'd find more compliance with the design guidelines. The other thing that the design guidelines really call to avoid would be the large white panels. That should be a more muted color. And staff is recommending a condition to that effect. That really starts to conclude my presentation. We're recommending approval of the conditional use permit based on the findings listed in Exhibit A and the conditions in Exhibit B. And I'm happy to answer any questions.
Well, thank you. Are there any questions for staff at this stage?
In your project analysis. Thank you. In your project analysis on page 3, you recommend the rear residential setback of 73 feet. Just seemed interesting.
That's the actual setback that they're showing on their site plan.
Okay. It just seemed
that's proposed.
From the rear side of the building, why would it need to be 73 feet from the property line? What are they going to do with that 73 feet?
The requirement is on a rear is 0 feet, actually, per the ordinance. It's really needed to put their parking.
Okay, that was the question.
Yep.
What are they going to do with it? Okay, thank you.
Okay, any other questions for staff? Okay, not at this point. So I'm going to open the public hearing, and we start with the applicant's representative, and it looks like we have Andrew Damut.
Good morning. My name is Andrew Damut, and I'm with Rick Engineering. I am both the applicant for Monarch Dunes, LLC, who are the owners of the land, and then also Rudy Bachman, local businessman, who is actually buying the lots from the Monarch Dunes LLC, who is actually going to be the developer of the commercial site. Rudy is a local businessman with an office here in SLO, and actually with me today. Rudy and his administrative assistant, Karen Palmer, are both here to answer any questions that you might have. I've been before you many times, and I thank you for your time today. We will reserve as much time to answer any follow-up questions that you may have. Wanted to just give you a little bit of flavor. The commercial village was part, as Mr. Johnson said at the beginning of his presentation, of a specific plan that was approved 21 years ago. And so today is kind of a milestone for what was called the Woodlands Village. And with that, it was always envisioned to have a place for people to live, recreate, work, and then as of today, with your approval, a place to actually shop. And so, as all of you know, in the planning process, commercial is traditionally the last thing to come. This is about 3.5 miles off of Highway 101 on Willow Road and down Mesa. So it's been a challenge. In my days working for the LLC and working for Shea Homes, I've actively marketed through brokers these sites since 2013, trying to find someone that would come to do commercial 3.5 miles off of the freeway. So today is a historic point in time for the Woodlands Village, and we're excited to have this application before you. It has been, we've been in this process with Planning Department for about a year, and today is the culmination of that. And a couple of the things that we've found out through the last 7 years is anyone that's come to buy one site or two sites, as Mr. Johnson said, this is a culmination and a master plan of all 8 commercial sites together. So it's kind of a big venture in that sense. But the problem that we're finding on a lot-by-lot basis is to get really a cohesive design, get architecture that would work throughout the complex, and then also create kind of a synergy that would bring people to that location. So with that, that's the application that's before you today, where this today would be a landmark in taking that, at least the entitlement hurdle, away from this. Not only do we have kind of a marketing and a stigma and a location, and then again at this point 1,100 homes have been built there with a master plan of 1,300. That's still, with people, less than 3,000 people. So it's not really your ideal commercial, so it's been a long time in the making, but we'd appreciate your favorable considerations of that application today, and I'll reserve the last 6 minutes for any questions that you may have and be happy to come back after.
Very good. Thank you. Are there any questions?
So I guess that you, as far as what you consider what could possibly be there as far as tenants, is a combination of the things that have been in, so possible some food establishments and offices too?
Yes. Great question. Thank you, Commissioner. We do have a whole host of permitted commercial opportunities there. But good news today, we're in the final negotiations with a major healthcare provider here locally to be in that phase one. So we'll be looking at a medical clinic and doctor's offices in that first phase, which is kind of a soft landing. They kind of, the clients come to the doctor's office. You don't have to draw them from there. That would be this phase one, approximately 10,000 square feet, the two buildings that Mr. Johnson presented initially. Then following that, we've got a host of things from potentially, you know, the hope for small market, food offerings, you know, things such, any like travel, banking, any of those type of things that you would expect to see in a small village. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know if we'll ever be quite as successful as maybe AG downtown or, you know, or Paso or something, but it is 140,000 square feet. So we'd expect all the normal, mix of small commercial retail. We've got a real estate company that is actually wanting to get some space in there, and so we'd expect that type of village.
The medical practice makes a lot of sense for the clientele and the region, and it is a drive for them to go out. Anyway, thank you for sharing.
Sure, my pleasure. Any other questions?
Mr. Harrison.
When do you anticipate starting construction on your extended care facility?
That's a great question. This is on the map that Mr. Johnson had. That it was sold about 3 years ago. This both Planning Commission and the Board of Supervisors has approved that. It's a separate ownership that I do not represent, but I know they've come back to the Planning Department. Mr. Johnson might have some other insights on that. That they originally, it was around 130-room facility. I think it's being downscaled to about 80 or 90 units. and not sure of the exact timing, but I think they're perfecting their permitting this year, and it may be you may see construction as early as next year.
And once you get this in, this particular building is going to be some kind of medical facility?
It is. It'll be like a health clinic and doctor's offices, yes. Mm-hmm. And this, we are working on construction plans right now. Planning is willing to accept those applications as soon as we have a CUP approval, and we'll be submitting for that building permit. Probably going to miss 2019 construction start, but originally our goal was to start by the end of this year. It may be as early as next year. We'd like to break ground on that first phase.
And you got plenty of water for this facility, right?
We do. Great question. Yes. So we do have a will serve from the Woodlands Mutual Water District, and the full build-out as originally approved in the EIR was about 14 acre-feet annually for the entire center. Phase one uses just a little over an acre-foot with the buildings and the landscaping that's there. The largest single probably user ultimately will be that nice little one-acre park that'll be in the middle of the center there that is still to come. But it is fully entitled water, and as planned from, believe it or not, 1991. So
I believe it.
Yes.
Mr. Johnson, do you have any information about when the assisted living project might be going forward?
Sure. Mr. Chairman, the site is the parcel, if you can see the cursor directly below the word site. That applicant has filed an extension on their conditional use permit, so that indicates they're willing to move forward. And it's our understanding that the construction documents will soon follow. So we anticipate that to be breaking ground within this next year or so.
Very good. Any other questions for staff or for Mr. DeMood? Nope. Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Sure. My pleasure.
Okay. I do have another speaker slip from Peter Scoble. Peter?
Up here while I'm talking.
Sure.
Does it show yet?
No.
As much as possible.
There we go. We have a hard copy up here with us that you turned it. Yeah. Mr. Scoble, would you turn on your mic, please, there? You got it?
There's a red button that says speak.
There you go.
Am I on?
You are, sir.
Thank you very much for allowing me to come and upset Mr. Diamond's apple cart, which I intend to do to the best of my ability. I'm trying to encourage you to deny the request for Trilogy's conditional use permit for only two of the nine lots. We have been waiting since 1999 for completion of this Shea Homes Village Center. In 2011, my handicapped wife and I spent $850,000 cash on a home in Trilogy after seeing the predecessor to that sign. There was a sign put up in 2006, and it said, coming in 2008, a village center that gives you geezers everything you need to age in place. That sign rotted and fell down by 2011 and was replaced by two of these signs. And by signs, I mean billboards. 20 feet by 15 feet posted on each end of the horseshoe in that village center. Right. Fools that we are, my wife and I believed that this was coming. We fell for the sales pitch. My wife can't drive. She has a 2011 BMW sitting in the garage now with 1,000 miles on it because all she can drive is back and forth to take a swim in the pool. She can't drive out for groceries along Mesa Road. It's crazy. There's construction traffic. It's a loaded thoroughfare. And over the years, I've watched as neighbors have come to realize this ain't going to happen. Not in our lifetimes. I'm upset. I understand the conditional use permit includes 9 lots. The other 7 lots, I can't honestly believe that these lots are going to go forward. Trilogy Shea Homes claims that they're going to be out of there. They're going to have finished building by August. Andrew, when are they going to be done? If I may ask. I'm sorry.
Ask questions to me.
Or whenever is the latest. I've seen emails come over the last 8 years that say there's going to be an assisted living center, there's going to be this, then that, and let's fill out a questionnaire that never goes anywhere, what kind of restaurants. We're being played along all the time. I want that built not conditionally for 2 out of 9 units, but for 9 out of 9 units. And it's key in what Mr. Damood said. We started marketing in 2013. Do you remember him saying that today? We started marketing the Village Center in 2013. Why so late? 2013 is a long time after that sign went up in 2006. Don't you agree? This needs to be put on a fast track. I have no confidence in Shea Homes. And I'm not talking about all the construction defects that we underwent or the 43 days that I spent waiting for Shea to come and fix things or the 3 cooktops that had to be replaced. Don't get me started there. But we paid a 30% premium to live in a community which would allow us the convenience to age in place. And that hasn't happened. Either I request a bond, a substantial bond, to be put in place for Shea to finish all of these 9. Or let's have them hang around, produce a performance bond, do something so that people like me don't have a bad opinion about Shea Homes. I would love to call my brother and say, buy a Shea Homes. It's the best experience I've ever had. Unfortunately, my brother did act on my recommendation, and he bought a home at Shea in Brentwood and has had a lot of trouble. And you know that Shea abandoned their construction project in Rio Vista. Deep Googling, I find that there are projects in England that have similarly been abandoned, where Shea was a significant investor, if my Googling is correct. And I am concerned, and I just don't want to roll over now and let this happen without going on record and say, someone, please, help protect 1,000 geezers who are burning up Mesa Road and shooting all sorts of fumes out there in their Lexuses as they drive back and forth 6 miles to get a bottle of aspirin or a cup of milk. First of all, they're crowding Mesa Road. Mesa Road is not going to be able to handle the traffic. So that village needs to be completed in 2008. If you could please do that, you would take away a lot of stress in my life. Thank you very much for listening.
Of course.
Any questions?
Any questions for Mr. Skoll? Well, thank you for coming. Appreciate it.
Okay. I did not wish to defame Shea Homes. I just wanted to present my side of what I saw. And frankly, this was... why did I wait since 2011 to come here? And that's because last week I saw the widow of one of America's most famous scientists. He's the man who perfected the lens on the space Hubble. And I saw his widow having to go into a walker, and she always used to walk up to get her mail at our community mailbox, but she can't do it anymore. We're aging in place. It's fine for Shay to say, oh, it's going to happen next year or the year after, but we need milestones in place. And the only thing that speaks to Shay about milestones is penalties, monetary penalties. Please consider those. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. I have no other speaker slips. Is there anybody else who'd like to talk to us about this? Okay. Seeing none, I'm going to close the hearing and bring it back to the commissioners for questions, comments, motion. Well, I have one comment, and I really feel for Mr. Scoble, but we live in a capitalist society. No, I'm not addressing you as you don't need to come up here. I'm just telling you. This is my response to your comments, and I'm sympathetic to that. But we live in a capitalist society and a free market, and it's whether somebody wants to start a business in a particular location is not contingent on the developer, but on somebody wanting to invest money and to provide those kinds of services. We've seen many instances where there's overpromising and underperforming, and we've commented about that on other projects, but it's really not within our scope to try to force the market here, I don't think. I don't know if other commissioners do, but and I don't see that holding up the use permit would be more productive. It seems like it would be counterproductive that at least we get something going there. And we take one of the barriers to attracting someone into that location to provide that kinds of services would be taken down. I don't know. I guess I'll ask County Council about the idea of some kind of punitive performance bond. Not to say that I would endorse that, but is there any precedent for that? Or
Bendorth County Council, and not that I'm aware of.
Okay. No. No. Actually, we've closed the hearing, so this is our turn to kind of talk amongst ourselves.
Yeah. And Mr. Bachman has taken over the opportunity here. Is that correct? Yeah. So we're on to a new opportunity with a local business individual who understands our community and has the resources to make things happen, as well as a potential anchor tenant that sounds really suitable for that area. So I think that maybe things are going to be looking up. I mean, those of us who went through the 2006-2008 downturn understand some of the market factors that created the less than demand for a location like that. So this is your district, sir.
Yeah. I have a son-in-law and a daughter that live in this area, and I would like to see this village completed. So I will make a motion that we approve conditional use permit DRC 2018-00214 based on the findings listed in Exhibit A and the conditions listed in Exhibit B. And encourage you to get it done.
I will second that.
Okay. We have a motion and a second. I'll speak to that. I'll support the motion, of course, because I think this moves us forward. I don't know that there's anything that we can do to improve the market demand for these kinds of services in this location. I mean, realistically, I go out there fairly frequently to play golf. So I'm real familiar with the site and with this area. And I think there's a lot of wishful thinking in this, and I think there's one thing that we have learned on the commission. This was approved decades ago, but what I think we're learning here is that just because you draw it on a map doesn't mean that it's going to turn into any kind of reality, and we need to be more circumspect about what can be supported in terms of commercial and office. But at the same time, something is being done, and we're removing at least one regulatory barrier to future ones. So I think that's beneficial. No, sir, I'm sorry. We've closed the hearing.
Can you tell me how I can appeal this?
Yes, I will tell you that.
Okay.
Okay. So let's, we have a motion and a second. We've had discussion. Any other comments? Would you call the roll, please?
Commissioner Harrison?
Yes.
Commissioner Ortiz-Legg?
Yes.
Chairman Moltari?
Yes. Okay, Mr. Scoble, the way that you can appeal this is to the Board of Supervisors. You appeal our decision to the Board of Supervisors, and the county clerk's office has paperwork that you need to fill out, and I think that there may be a fee. I'm not sure about that.
Can staff help? Thank you, Chair Moltari, Kate Shea, County Planning Staff. Staff can certainly help you with that from our planning department. We have the appeal applications available at our front counter as well, Monday through Friday, open from 8:30 to 3. Within the next 14 calendar days is the appeal period.
So you have two weeks to file the paper, and if you need help, our planning staff, I'm sure, would try to help you with
that. Thank you for all of your help. Sorry for...
No, don't be sorry. Don't be sorry. Okay. Anything else on today's agenda then? Seems like we are done. So is there a motion to enter the materials into the record?
I move to enter all the materials into the record.
Testimony and submission or whatever.
Second.
Okay, all in favor say aye.
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 And then a motion to adjourn to our next regular meeting.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Okay. We're done for today. Thank you. Good luck.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.